morning.
We have a number that are out, but I'm really glad for those folks that are here. We appreciate our visitors. On the overhead, the title of our lesson, which always seems fitting to have a title, is called The Power of Encouragement. And I used Proverbs 16:24. It says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I kind of picked this lesson up, kind of stole some of Roger's thunder when he was teaching on the tongue, the power of the tongue, how it can be, you know, poisonous in one sense, and yet again it can be like honey on the other sense. And I had a chance and challenged by that lesson that Roger put out, had an opportunity to exercise, I believe, the words sweet to the soul. I recently had to get an upgrade in my computer. I'm not a real handy guy when it comes to computers. However, I had a need to upgrade my memory. Not only my computer, but I kind of set myself up for that. But I needed to get some upgrade for my computer. And so I got on the phone and I did some research and I found out exactly what I needed, how much that I could really put into my system that would work without causing some difficulty. So I decided to call the Geek Squad. Now, as we know, those folks that are at Best Buy. And so I called and they said, yeah, bring it in. You know, you leave it there for a couple of days and we'll get it taken care of. And I thought, okay. So I go down there and arrived at the Geek Squad and got in line. And there must have been about 15 people in front of me. And this manager, I saw on his manager, it said assistant manager Dan. He was a heavyset guy, and he was running back and forth, and he was just trying to take care of the customers, and people were just screaming at him, I want this done right now. Why can't why can't this place hire more people to get this work done? What's going on here? Yeah, I don't have all day to wait in line. So customers are just becoming just irate. Well, finally, after about 40 minutes, you know, me being the patient guy that I am, you know, I kind of finally got my turn. So I walked up there and Dan and stood before him and handed him my CPU and he says, what do you want? I says, you know, Dan, I just want to tell you, I can see why you're an assistant manager. You really handle the pressure well. I said, you are doing an outstanding job. I said, do you have a supervisor that I could tell him the work that I have observed going on here? And he said to me, he says, what is your name? And I says, Patrick Sutherland. He says, Mr. Sutherland, how may I help you? And I says, well, Dan, I have a problem here. I says, I've been doing some research on this, and I got this memory. And he says, you don't need all of that. Let me take care of this. I says, well, I understand I have to leave it for a couple of days. He says, I'll take care of this right now, Mr. Sutherland. And so he says, if you go and you have any other shopping to do, if you will just go and shop, and I'll have this completed for you. Please, would you come back? I came back. He had my computer ready. He says, I tested it out. Everything is fine to your specifications, Mr. Sutherland. I says, thank you, Dan. And went on my way. Well, I thought about that because of Roger's lesson on sweet words. Now, I could have taken the approach when this poor guy was just badgered, beat up, and whatever. So I decided, why not, and not a game, why not just take a unique approach today and have this poor individual that was overloaded and overworked and compliment him and recognizing the good job that he was doing. Well, in turn, it was reciprocal. I received an outstanding job. So I thought about it, and I put together a lesson on encouragement. So we're going to talk about today about the power of encouragement. And the first question I'm going to ask you, have you ever had a dead car battery? Man, you might think, where's this guy going with this lesson? This guy is nuts, you know? Have you ever had a dead car battery? I mean, think about it. You know, they don't happen at a good time. Generally, it's when you got to go someplace real quick. And generally, you're not prepared for it. Some may have AAA, and others may have, as we say, jumper cables, you know, or push start in my days, you know, you can do that. You can't do it now. But for what it's worth, think about it. Think about the inconvenience you have, and it's very discouraging. And when we look at this particular scenario, that, you know, besides the more, shall we say, serious problems that batteries may have, really the short-term solution is to get a hold of somebody, have them come alongside you, give them some jumper cables, or they provide jumper cables, and they transfer their power or their strength. They transfer that strength from their source to your dead battery, and then obviously the power to start your car will get you going. When I researched this word encouragement, I'm not into the Greek, Raj, but when we research this word, that is the idea of this word in the New Testament that we're going to be talking about. It's drawing alongside of one another and providing energy for one another that is known as encourage. To encourage one another means to draw alongside of and provide energy to that which is lacking. So when we look at this particular word, the power of encouragement, when our battery runs flat, and encouragement means the coming alongside of and the inputting of courage or perspective or attitudes that make us get up and get going again. And there are many things in life that can really cause us to experience certain discouragement, brethren. The draining of courage. Sometimes it's a crisis in our life. It's easily to become overwhelmed when these things happen. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's being tired. Or, unfortunately, sometimes it's the cutting words that can be challenging from an individual that may take us out of character and cause us to be discouraged. Encouragement, it represents the putting back what has been taken or that which has been drained out of us. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but has anybody ever been discouraged? It happens. And it doesn't take, and sometimes a lot, to get us out of our, our full strength into the discouragement mode. All right? Well, what is encouragement? Again, it means to come alongside of. It can mean that we can come alongside of them to urge or admonish them. The urge or admonishment. An important part of encouragement, another person, is the willingness to step in and walk beside them. We need to be with them step by step by step. Kind of like that car battery, you know, it's not from a distance. Have you ever tried to get your car, well, I can reflect in my days, but try to get my car started here and, you know, I'm not on the right side, my jumper cables are too short and they won't reach and I don't know what to do, you know, but, you know, it really means come alongside them, to walk step by step. And people, most of us will take a lot better, or pay more attention, especially to being admonished when they know that you're willing to get in the trenches with them. Other words in the Bible that have the same meaning that we want to take a look at, we won't take a look at, I should say, but we should recognize comfort, consolation, and exhortation. I left one out in treaty because I'm still looking at that. Well, it's interesting, in the passage we read in Acts, we read passage on Barnabas. But Barnabas was known as son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. And Barnabas was a man who believed in the potential of other individuals. And when we look at Barnabas's act, especially in Acts 9th chapter, open your Bibles to Acts 9, 26 through 28. In Acts 9, 26 through 28, When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. And that was the Apostle Paul, where we see that he had that experience with Jesus, and he was converted at that time, not believing that he really was a disciple. So many were fearful of Saul or Paul, the apostle. He says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with him and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of Jesus. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So we see Barnabas was an individual. One way of encouraging was this individual is he was a person who believed in the potential of people. And we too need to look around and find out who needs encouraging, recognize that potential, and walk alongside with them. In Acts, the 15th chapter here, we have, turn over with me, we have another unique situation. And that would be Barnabas was willing to give a failure a second chance. I kind of use this word failure, maybe a little tongue-in-cheek, but if we remember the events here in Acts 15, let's go over to 35 to 41. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they had, and many others, taught and preached the word of God. Sometime later, and this is when they're about to start their missionary journey, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with him. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Cilicia and strengthened the churches. Well, we had a disagreement over taking this individual with him that they separated. There was such a sharp dispute. And on the surface, you know, I've always looked at this passage and I thought, wow, you know, there we go. Two brothers at it, you know, debating. But not the case. Not the case here. You know, this individual here had left him and returned to Jerusalem after the first missionary journey. And Paul just felt it was not wise to take this individual with him. But again, Barnabas, known as the son of encouragement, stood up for this individual. I'll take him with me. He saw the potential in others. How many times do we quit on people, folks? How many times? At times. I'm thankful I'm here today for those that didn't quit on me and left me behind. Well, when we look at that, and when we look at this situation because of Barnabas' predisposition towards encouraging people, the leaders of the early church gave him the nickname of Son of Encouragement. That certainly would be a name that would be worth putting on your tombstone, wouldn't it? When we look at that. Well, how do we encourage others? How do we encourage others? And I used an interesting passage here, and I hope it's not a stretch, but if we're going to encourage people, we must maintain certainly a positive attitude. I mean, I think Jesus spoke about it sometimes, the blind leading the blind, you know. Well, if we're going to step out and encourage folks, if we are downtrodden, if we are constantly walking under that cloud of discouragement, how are we going to have any impact on anybody else? Are we any different than that battery that's completely deflated? We need to be that source of strength. We need to be that individual that has the courage to step out. And we need to be that strength. At times it's tough to do, but we need to. It starts with us. We must instill faith in others. And I picked out this particular passage in Matthew 14, 28 through 31. It says, Lord, if it is you, now remember this event, the storm, Jesus was walking on water. Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus is in the water. Jesus said, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? You know, I only chose this particular passage because I don't know. I've always felt that Peter's walking on water and it's just some distance out there. He's looking at Jesus and he's just right by the boat. That was my observation. But when he said he immediately came to him when he started to fail, you know, he was alongside of him because it says he reached out his hand. Now, you know, bingo, you know, right there. He was close by when he failed, when Peter lost faith and failed. And then he reminds him, he says, you have little faith. He said, why did you doubt? He still has the courage on that. To me, just a beautiful passage. Jesus did not abandon Peter in his time of need. And isn't it easy sometimes when sometimes things get difficult and you hear a person, oh man, this guy's got problems. I don't want to hear no more, you know? Why don't you just drown? You know? Man, again, those that didn't quit on me didn't let me drown. They were there. They stuck their hand out for me. And I needed it. Peter needed it. Well, all right. Why do we encourage others? Why do we encourage others? Well, the first one is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And depending on your translation, but 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, "We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone." And when we look at this, you know, I put down to keep the faint-hearted from quitting. Who is the faint-hearted? Some of you may have in your readings or your other translations, the feeble-minded. You know, faint-hearted, feeble-minded somewhat doesn't mean that this individual isn't competent. It doesn't mean this person is not competent. What it means is this person means that they're easily distracted, and when things start to go a little difficult for them, they quit. They give up. Their battery is depleted. They don't want to continue on. They quit functioning. That's what they mean about the faint heart. Later on in Thessalonians, he talks what to do about the brethren that are idle. He says, have nothing to do with them. And we look at church discipline. But in this scenario here, to keep the faint-hearted from quitting, we need to look around and we need to look at ourselves in the mirror and we need to look and find out who's in this category. Who would we suggest would be in this category? And talk about and find out what do we need to do to encourage these individuals to get them back on track, to get them moving in full direction up to full speed. David and I meet every Sunday morning on our agenda, and we talk about the work here, you know, looking at the work here on that, you know. What do we need to do? How do we need to interface? What does so-and-so need to do on that? And so to keep the faint-hearted from quitting, again, we can look around and we can start saying, are there signs? Are there signs? Is a person struggling major with health? Are they struggling major financially? Are they struggling major emotionally? Are they depressed? What's going on in their lives? One thing I like about the eldership, I am not a psychologist. I don't claim to be a psychologist. That's none of my business. But I know what the scriptures say. And I know what the scripture says as far as encouragement and signs that we need to see. Is attendance a sign of faint-hearted? Might be. But is that the problem? No, it might be something else. What's keeping that from happening? How do we need to break through that barrier? How do we need to encourage them? So otherwise, do we just ignore it? Don't come alongside them. Don't reach out the hand. Let them drown. No. I like this one. To draw out the potential in others. Now, we talked about, obviously, Barnabas in his scenario and to draw out his potential in others. But turn over to Acts 18, beautiful passage, just a dynamite passage, I think, for looking at ways we can encourage people to draw out the potential. Again, meanwhile, a Jew, starting 18, verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him into their home and explained the way of God more adequately to him, or more adequately. Well, they saw a need. They saw the potential in Apollos. They invited him to their home, sat down, had a Bible class. Could have stood up probably in the middle of the assembly and just challenged this guy and said, "Hey, look, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong." Well, didn't do that. They took him home, privacy of their home, sat down with him, saw the potential in this individual, and look at the results. Look at the power of encouragement. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, and the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by the grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Look at the results. Look at the return on the investment as we look at potential in others. Look around here. Look at the potential that are sitting right here in this assembly today. We have Bible class teachers. We have future Bible class teachers. We have future leaders, future elders, deacons. You know, so much potential here. People training their children, you know. So we need to recognize that potential, and we need to sit down with them, and we need to encourage them from the scriptures, you know, a path to take on that. I like that one. That's good. All right. Well, here's a better one. You know, that's one thing I always say. I like the scripture the best. This is my best passage or whatever. You know, it does. It gets better. You know, every time you get moving on, you know, you find out. You know, I like this one though. It's to help people see God through tough times. Wow. All right. Look at this one. James. Consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Well, we can stop right there. You know, because try to swallow that. Try to swallow that when you're pending a divorce. Try to swallow that when you're pending major illness. Try to swallow that when you're pending a lot of opportunities in life that come our way, all right? Right now I'm going through a major situation. I didn't go to bed last night, guys. So I apologize if I'm a little lame here. But, you know, it's hard. You say, what is the benefit? Why? What's the good that's going to come out of this? And so, but we go on, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Well, even at my age, I guess I still need to have a few more lessons, and I'm sure I will be challenged a few more lessons on that. But when we look here to help people see God in tough times, that's where we need to turn to. We need to turn to in prayer. My wife and I we spent a long time in prayer before she left. And that's what Christianity is all about. And those of you that are suffering out there on affliction, and those of you that are suffering, tap into that. Tap into that source that can give you that strength that you need. Tap into that fully charged battery, all right, versus your weak, drain-out, exhausted system. Don't do it on your own. Go to God in prayer. Turn around to your brethren. Look around. Because what's nice, one thing I like about this church, I've been here just almost 2.5 years now. I'm a regular. You know? But you know what's exciting? You know? I've only been discouraged 3 times since I've been here. That's good. You know? Because normally, I am not a guy who gets down. I just don't get down. I refuse to do that. All right? But we have people that encourage. I've received cards from people. I've received phone calls, texts, on a lot of things. And boy, it means a lot to me. Tap into that. There are those that are going through difficult times. You've got to share what that first century Christianity was all about. There were no needy saints among them. And that passage we don't go to just to say, hey, everybody had a hot meal. Everybody had a place to sleep. Everybody had, hey, they had Christianity in its fullest working through that group. That's why they were different. Talk about being easily discouraged. Talk about being displaced from their homeland. Everyone came together. Barnabas stepped forward. Hey, here's my property. Take it. What do you need? Here's a brother in need. Use him. Think about it. Everybody in here, we need to do that. Well, here's a better one. All right? I like this one too. To strengthen others. Philippians 1:14. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. You know? Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. We know in the context here, the Apostle Paul was incarcerated. The Apostle Paul was incarcerated and unaware of probably what the outcome may be, but could have been easily discouraged. Easily discouraged. But because of his incarceration and what was happening and the result of the gospel being preached, the brethren were excited about it. The brethren were on fire for the Lord to see such an individual on that. I'm encouraged to see Clint Moss here today. As we know, Clint doesn't get out a lot because of health issues. I have a brother in Hawkinson where I used to attend, a 94-year-old brother in Christ. He had served as an elder. He was a member of the church forever. He had a half a dozen surgeries. And then I talked to him one day. I says, how's it going? It's okay. He says, I just found out I have cancer. I says, yeah. He says, yeah. He's probably having another surgery. This guy never missed a service. This guy, when it came time to lead a prayer, used a walker and got up and led a prayer. This guy was at every Bible class. This guy would call and would say, what's happening? What's going on with the work here? How are we doing? And every time he saw me, he used to call me the young guy. That was encouraging. You know? And his name was Lee Edmonds. Some of you may know Lee. But he's not well. But he said, I couldn't be in a better place. He had lost his son in a hunting accident probably about 10 years ago. Hunting accident in a blind, someone shot him. You know, on that. Devastated. But, you know, when I'm around that guy, it encouraged me to say, I need to do more. I need to step out. You know. And when we look around and people are going through many trials and tribulations in their lives, isn't that a source of encouragement when you see those people step out of character and say, you know something? I could easily lay down and quit. I could sink or I could do whatever I need to do. But no, I'm going to be the strong one on that. And we look at that and we look at there's so many people over the years that I know you all can relate to or know, not just stories, just for impact. That's not what I'm telling you that. That individual had a, you know, impact on my life on that. To strengthen others. Sometimes our struggles will encourage others. Think about it. Well, moving on. To strengthen the church. And here's our attendance passage, actually. Hebrews 10:24-25, as we say. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I'm sure the reason why we had poor attendance today was so many people were traveling because they probably found that I was preaching. But you know what? I'm not worried about that. My prayers are with them. My prayers, I wish them the best. And when we look at life, why do we come together, brethren? Don't make it just another job for yourself, like you got to punch a ticket and come in here. Get yourself in the mode that you want to come, because the benefits are here. The benefits are here where you belong, you know, to encourage others. Like I said, I mentioned Clint. I'm encouraged that he's here. And we look around and we consider, you know, why we meet together. We don't just come together just to fulfill some Sunday on the calendar or fulfill some sort of obligation or whatever the case may be. We come together because we need to spur one another on. We need to take that courage. Those that are strong need to take that courage and transfer it to that weak, drained out battery. That's why we come together. That's why we have Bible classes. That's why we have lessons. That's why we meet together on that. That's what it's all about. Now, there are going to be times when you miss providentially. I understand that. But make that the exception. All right? All right. We are here. We are His bodies, and we need to be strong. Well, here's another good one. Where do I personally find encouragement? I put the word I, meaning myself. Where do I go from encouragement besides going to my fellow elder or my brother or sister in Christ, you know, or my family or whatever? Where do I personally go? The scriptures tell us plainly. For everything was written in the past. This is Romans 15, 4 through 6. Everything was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very difficult to be down and out and go to the Psalms and read the Psalms or read the Scriptures and not be encouraged. Very difficult even preparing for a Bible class or the classes that we're involved in right now without looking for some practical application in your life as you study the Scriptures and that are the encouraging part and looking how the Scriptures can get your life full of strength on that. That's what the power of the Scriptures do for us. You don't have to do it by yourself, but what you do is you can get in, you can tap in that source on that. We look at that. Well, the power of encouragement. We're kind of right back where we began, huh? Okay? Life can be very challenging most of the time, you know. So when you live to be my age, you just are overwhelmed at what's in store for you as you open up the next door at times, you know. A lot of joy, a lot of happiness, but on the other hand, you know, what's out there can be devastating in time and challenging. So we face challenges. It's important for us to have people in our lives that will stand alongside us. And that's really my main point today. It's like that battery pulling up alongside that those that are strong that can transfer that energy from their strength to your, shall we say, deflated battery. Well, what do people need when they are struggling? We have the answers. You know, you can go to the library and get all these self-enrichment books and you can say, you know, money, you know. What else do you need, you know? What do people need when they need to be challenged to do something that may seem out of their normal range of ability? You know, we threw out a lot of information on our evangelistic class, and we threw out a lot of information that's coming out of the pike here right now, you know? And sometimes we do that because, you know, how can we encourage you to kind of maybe, let's change a little bit. Let's move, get moving a little more, maybe, on that. So what do they need? Well, what does a person who is struggling with their faith need? You know? Do they need that phone call and say, you know something, if you don't get here, we're going to disfellowship from you. I had my eye on you since I ever saw you. There's a good one. You're not doing well, are you? Those are really pick-me-ups, you know, when you look at that. What do they need? Seriously. Well, what can change the life of another person? I like that. life-changing event. American Idol, 16-year-old. It's all I ever wanted in my life. Where'd they go? But their desires will change as they get older. Well, what can change the life of another person? Jumper cables, brethren, all right? Our encouragement. That'll do it. The jumper cables, the encouragement that we can provide to one another is what will change the life of another individual on there. And the last passage we're going to look at is in Romans 15:1. And you folks probably knew that I was headed here anyway. But in Romans 15:1, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Well, we that are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. There are times when some of us are going to be stronger than others. There are going to be times when we are fully charged and we need to transfer that energy to the other individual as they have need. And we don't want to miss out that opportunity. Because one thing I've learned with my life, believe me, you'll be on the receiving end sometime. And for other, we need to walk alongside those people and make it happen on that. Okay, the lesson is yours. I think I finished on time. But there may be some here tonight. And I don't know who will be here tonight, but there are maybe some here this morning. There might be some here this morning that obviously have studied the gospel, reached a point in life where they know that they know what to do. You know, they need to come forward, confess Jesus before man, that he is the Son of God, be willing to submit to him in baptism, and be buried with him in baptism and raised a new child of God. Tap into that energy that God has to offer. Or there may be some here that may need encouragement or prayers. You know, your requests need to be let known. My request for you folks today is maybe you could send my wife a text, you know, or call her. She had to leave early Saturday morning about 6 in the morning, driving down there on my grandson's situation. And I may fly down there depending on what the doctors say. Right now he's heavily sedated, so it's probably not the time for me and just can have very few visitors anyway. But pray for us. And pray for her. She's a strong woman. And I, if it hadn't been for her courage and her strength in my life, I probably would have fallen away on that. But thanks for that, and the brethren, certainly. But would you do that for me? Okay? But if you have any need, I want you to come forward and let your request be known as we sing our song. All right?